City in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 27th day of February 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Matt Bennett from TGM, that's Total Grain Marketing in Windsor, Illinois, will be here to look at the cash grain market. And Mike Tenora will take us through what's becoming a really tough look at a weather forecast for Sunday and Monday of next week. He's with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. We'll wrap up our programming with that as we make our way through this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Let's take a look now at the settlement prices as they finished up in Chicago for this Thursday afternoon. Futures like this in the soft red winter wheat pit, the nearby March contract at $5.82 and a quarter was down 17 3/4 for the day. The May at $5.89 and a quarter, 16 and a quarter lower. In July, wheat at $5.95 and 3/4, down 15 and a quarter. December futures $6.16 and a quarter, 15 and 3/4 lower as well. March corn futures at $4.48, 7.5 cents lower. The May at $4.54 and a half, down 6.5. And July at $4.58 and a half, down 6 1/4. December contract 5.5 cents lower at $4.61 for the day. March of next year at $4.70, down 5.5 cents. Beans failed, down 13 3/4 of a cent at $13.93 and a half. May at $13.90, down 7. July at $13.66 and 3/4, 6.5 lower. In the August at $13.13, down 10 3/4. November beans at $11.55 and a half. They finished down 13 3/4. Bean meal at $4.64, down $4.30. Bean oil down 30 cents at $40.90. Live cattle futures in the nearby April at $144.45, down 7.5. March feeders for the day at $171.82 and a half, down 17.5. And lean hogs at $103.85 finished $2.82 and a half higher on the afternoon. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, $102.29, down 39 cents a barrel. Arbob gasoline, our wholesale price, at $2.75 and 8 tenths, that's down 4 cents. And ethanol futures at $2.22 and a half, down a penny and 2 tenths. The spread between the two, 53 and 3 tenths of a cent wide, down 2 and 8 tenths from yesterday, or narrower than that. And natural gas at $4.50 and 9 tenths of a cent, down 3 2/10 of a cent. Diesel fuel for the day, $3.08 and a half, down 4 3/10. And gold futures at $1,331.80. That's down $3, or rather up $3.80. The U.S. dollar trading 80.27 is down 0.15 on the afternoon. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon shows sunny skies, a high of 15 degrees, wind chills between 1 and 6, northwest winds at 9 to 11. Tonight, clear, a low of 0. Friday, partly sunny, a high of 29. Saturday, cloudy and 31 degrees. Saturday, snow likely, cloudy and a low of 17. Sunday, snow likely as well, cloudy and a high of 22. Chance of precipitation set at 60%. Sunday night, a chance of snow, cloudy and a low of 10. Monday, partly sunny skies and a high of 19. Monday evening, mostly cloudy and 5. And Tuesday, partly sunny with a high near 18 degrees. There's some discrepancy, of course, between what the National Weather Service has to say about the storm that may be making its way through the Midwest and what Mike Tenora thinks about that. We'll hear more from him as we make our way through this edition of the Closing Market Report. Of course, it is a Thursday afternoon. Find us online at willag.org.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the phone line now to take a look at the marketplace and the drop we had today as Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
How are you today?
I'm doing fine.
You should be glad you're in Mandeville because next week I think it's not going to be pretty here on the weekend or Monday.
Oh, well, I understand that. So I guess I'm going to get a blast of cold weather and some snow while I'm up there all week.
Oh.
I'm going to be there all week. So,
oh, yeah. You're here with us on Tuesday. I was not thinking about that. You're here all week, I suppose. Tuesday at our All-Day Ag Outlook. Looking forward to that one.
Yeah, I'll have my cowboy hat on, and I thought I'd bring a box of beads since that's going to be Mardi Gras Day. That's Fat Tuesday, so we'll have a party over there.
what will we be celebrating on that day?
I don't know. Usually breaks like this wait until then, so the market doesn't look like it'll be on maybe by Tuesday we could get this thing turned around, but this is typical action for the beef house day, really.
This is the day that Tuesday of next week is the day when we have our all day. That's usually when things happen. This one's early. Either it's a sign it'll be done quickly or it's a really bad sign, one of the two.
Yeah, I know. It corn probably, the bearishness in corn probably is the spillover it got basically, I think, from wheat and soybeans today. But there are some bearish divergence formations on some of the technical indicators which say that corn may go down underneath either Monday's low or Friday's low. I'm not too sure what it was, but that we could take out the previous corrective low point, and then that would be complete, and then the market would stabilize. And then that'll be, you know, we'll be looking at what a USDA report coming at us sometime during that second week of March. And then, of course, we got the BIC report at the end of March. Soybeans today, there was a sense of panic after the first hour or so of the regular session. So my guess is that whoever was the big short in this bean market had bought their way out for one reason or the other. Either they were on margin or they were short for other purposes. But once that kind of collapsed, or once that was kind of finished, and that ran beans, March beans, I think up to 48 cents there for a while, they fell back to mid-range. And then for the rest of the day, basically there was no buying, and the market just kept drifting downward. And then at the end, then we ended up double-digit losses. I think a lot of technicians probably started taking some profits because most of the objectives were all pretty well met, almost on the money, exceeded by a couple cents, or maybe didn't quite make it by a couple cents. And I think by the end of the day here, we got what I would call as a spike high reversal in soybeans. Not that it's the end of the world, but it does imply that maybe an important high is in place for now, and the market's going to have to go into some kind of corrective move of some kind and stabilize and kind of work off an overbought technical condition. There was a lot of talk today that China had begun moving some of their old crop sales or purchases from the U.S. into the 14-15 crop year, and I think that, you know, maybe kind of stimulated some of the weakness that we saw in soybeans today.
So the spike high reversal is on the daily chart in the lead option March. November had an outside down day too, which would be similar, but the spike high, I assume, is because the March is a much higher high than the November might have been in terms of the chart itself. On the weekly charts, things don't look quite as bad, at least for the lead option contract. It's still up for the week.
Well, we'll have to see what tomorrow brings and see whether or not we get any follow-through from this bearishness. If we don't see anything in the overnights, then the market could snap back nicely and, like I say, kind of mute some of the daily bearishness with an unchanged or higher, slightly higher finish for the week. This rally's been, it's had some, it's basically started shortly after the January crop report on corn. We put a low in, and then so we've been up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks. So it would not be uncommon for the market to set back a couple weeks for an 8 to 10 week cycle low, and then it'll be time then for what USDA issues on the March 31st report, and then that by the time we get there, we'll probably have a little better idea of what the spring pattern is going to be like, whether or not we still have snow cover and deep frost in the northern half of the belt. Clearly, when you look out your door, it doesn't look like anybody's going to go to the field anytime soon, at least compared to what we've seen the last couple of years. My guess is the soybeans are such that it's going to try to buy some corn acres. I think the acres are already been bought, but we're not going to really know what the acres are until you get into June. And, you got to get through the planting season. The March report's going to give us an indication of which way farmers are swaying. And, today's price action may sway them a different way, because I'm sure the surveys are in the farmers' hands by today or tomorrow quickly. And they're supposed to be sent in probably by early next week. So, maybe today's action may sway some acreage ideas, but it's probably doubtful. We'll have to see what that survey shows at the end of the month.
Well, we'll find out more from you next Tuesday. Thanks for taking the time with us today.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Of course, he will be at the Beef House next Tuesday. You can, too, if you haven't gotten your ticket. 217-333-7300. That's the number to dial.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Now up next, some of the best Illinois has to offer will be on display this weekend in Springfield. It's the annual Illinois Product Expo at the Orr Building on the State Fairgrounds. More than 70 companies will be represented. Illinois Public Radio's Sean Crawford asked Jennifer Tyree, Bureau Chief of Marketing and Promotions with the Illinois Department of Agriculture, about what to expect.
We have maxed out of every nook and cranny in the Orr Building. This is our 16th year with the Illinois Products Expo, and it originally started in the Illinois Building, and about 20 vendors participated. Now, we're maxed out to 20 wineries and over 60 Illinois food companies, and we try every year to encourage new vendors to come in so that we're giving some new variety to the consumers each year.
I'm always stunned when I go to this not just the products and the number of people that are there, but also the variety of the products that are made in Illinois. People wouldn't expect how many wineries, we talked about that before we started here, how many wineries there are in Illinois, but how many other food products are made. Give us sort of the range, if you could, of what's going to be available there.
There is such a wide variety, like you said. We go from pork, from the Illinois pork producers selling their pork sandwiches, to Oakland Noodle Company selling noodles. They're so delicious with chicken. Chicken and noodles with Oakland Noodle is the best. Chocolate and Rapture, it's a new company from Champaign we're excited to see. They're going to be having truffles. We've got Jimmy B. Super Salsa. We've got Zillion's Chili, which is here a local hometown favorite. Mm-hmm. We've got Golden Prairie Popcorn. We've got Spice of Life from Decatur, all different kinds of spices to enhance your meals and grilling things. We've got cheese companies. We've got Goose Island Beer, and we've got our local Rolling Meadows Brewery going to be at the expo this weekend. So honestly, there's a little bit of everything. There's pizza. Butch's Pizza is a favorite. The lines are always very long at Butch's because the pizza is so delicious. But the lines at all the things are moving quickly. We've got a great setup, a great line, the way the lines are set up. And I think that anyone that comes in, it's $5 for adults. Children 10 and under get in for free, and we're all suffering from cabin fever. So now is the time to come out and try some of this great food and purchase and help the local economy.
And we're talking with Jennifer Tyree. She's with the Illinois Department of Agriculture. We're talking about the Illinois Product Expo, which takes place this weekend at the State Fairgrounds at the Orr Building. More people today, I think, want to know a bit more about what they're eating, more where their food comes from. And here not only do you get a chance to meet somebody who is selling the product, in many cases the person who's grown it and the person who has helped produce it, so and package and process this food. So really you're getting a good feel for where your food is coming from when you go out to this expo.
Absolutely. Most of the time the owners are standing at the booth ready to talk to you about their product. And one little note that you may not realize, that the public might not realize, is that Illinois ranks number one in food processing sales in the nation, over $3 billion. And so this Illinois Products Expo is just one example of how Illinois is succeeding in processed sales. And a lot of these companies are just getting their start. We are also doing a buyer show that's going to be private just for grocery stores and specialty shops before the consumer show starts this weekend. And we're hopeful to see some of these products on those grocery store shelves, because that's that next step these companies are looking to do.
And so they get an opportunity to come in, taste it, maybe meet the person and see if they can provide the type of demand that would be required to put something on a store shelf. So it's really a big opportunity for them as well.
Absolutely, because this show is very important to the economy. We bring in over $200,000 in a weekend. But our main goal is to see that these companies continue to sell their products beyond the weekend. And if they can't find their products on the grocery store shelves, it's really difficult for those companies to continue to strive for success. And so by inviting these buyers and giving them that one-on-one time where they're not fighting the crowds of all of our consumers that are going to be coming in at 10 a.m., it gives them a chance to talk about the pricing, like you said, making sure they can handle the distribution and get those products on the shelves.
I'm glad you mentioned the crowds, because that was, if I've heard anything negative, I guess through the years, some people have said, well, it's been difficult to get into something that I want to get to. The line has been way too long, maybe. You've tried to improve that, though, over the last few years.
That's correct. We have tried to work on the areas that have had bottlenecks. We've made stanchions to where the lines move faster so that they're not butting into each other. And I think that this year's show, people will feel like it's a very fast-moving show. You'll be able to get your samples, be able to purchase, and not feel like you're standing in line and missing an opportunity at another booth.
There is no doubt probably the hardest thing to do in many cases is start a business. I mean, small businesses, they face a lot of hurdles. And really what we're dealing with most times here are small businesses. Somebody has an idea for something and maybe a passion for something, and they get it going. They start producing it, and they get it packaged, and here they are. They show up at the Products Expo. Are you hearing from them that, anything to let you know that maybe things have improved a bit economy-wise for them, or things are still very difficult? What do you hear from them?
Yes, that's probably one of the most rewarding parts of my job, is when they do share success stories. And last year, for instance, we did the buyer's event for the first time. And one of our hometown companies, Zillion's Chili, sent me emails throughout the year of new grocery stores that were going to start carrying their product on their shelves because of being at the Products Expo. And that was not an isolated incident. We hear those stories all the time. And one of the next steps to these companies sometimes is that they become export ready. So they might be taking their baby steps at the Illinois Products Expo and getting their product on the grocery store shelf. But there are several companies that are going to be there that are shipping their product to Mexico and Canada. And to us, to watch that company grow is one of the best success stories that we can sell.
There are wineries who will be exhibiting at this as well, and people can purchase wine. Did you tell me there were upwards of 20 now?
There's 20 wineries that are going to be at the show, and there are over 100 wineries in the state of Illinois. Wine has become such a big business for the state of Illinois and for the economy, and not only for the economy, but for tourism. Down in southern Illinois, the wine trails have become such a popular destination, and these wineries are able to continue to expand and offer an agritourism aspect to see their success continue.
Well, that's Jennifer Tyree. She's the Bureau Chief of Marketing and Promotions with the Illinois Department of Agriculture. She spoke with Illinois Public Radio's Sean Crawford. Admission, by the way, for the Illinois Products Expo at the Orr Building on the Illinois State Fairgrounds, just $5. That's this weekend, Saturday from 10 to 5, and Sunday from 10 to 3.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
On this Thursday afternoon, time to check in on the cash grain market. Matt Bennett from TGM Total Grain Marketing in Windsor, Illinois, is on the phone line. Matt, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon and being in Clinton last night for our Will Ag panel. I think it was kind of a stellar event.
Yeah, no problem. I really enjoyed it. A nice crowd, and you know, had a lot of great questions.
Indeed they did. That one sponsored by WHOW. Our thanks to them, too. You were talking to them last night about protecting risk, and they probably got a good jolt during the day today. It was
yes.
Kind of a rough day in Chicago.
Yes, no doubt about it. You know, and today with most of my producers, we were aggressive sellers on beans, both on the cash and new crop. Now, I'm not saying that that's not going to look bad coming up, but we were protecting risk. You know, we were trying to protect ourselves, putting puts underneath the market because, you know, the bottom line on this bean market is it's been so good for so long that if you really spook it, it could get ugly pretty quickly.
How did it get spooked today, do we know?
Well, I think there's several things that are out there. You know, I think for one thing, you know, people just keep saying how overbought the market is, and that, you know, anytime there's any sort of rumblings about when there might be cancellations, ports are awfully backed up in China. You know, there's just a lot of speculation that the dam's going to break here one of these days soon, and I think people are just jumpy.
Will the corn follow the soybeans lower, or is there just enough gap there that it might manage to hold on?
Well, you know, I think to an extent it's about going to have to follow it somewhat. I think it'd be pretty tough for it not to. And so I think if you get a huge break in the bean market, it's definitely going to follow it to an extent.
Does that mean you were also aggressive with corn sales, old and new crop?
Maybe not quite as aggressive. We've been aggressive recently, but I mean, basically what I was trying to tell guys today is you've got a chance to sell 14 and a quarter cash beans, which we haven't seen that in a long time.
Yeah.
And let's get these things out of here. And then, you know, we had fall beans up to 11.50, and that was a target for us. And so, you know, we were either marketing some of those or we were buying a lot of short-dated put options today, which, you know, they just exploded in value after we bought them. So it was a good day to be doing what we were doing today.
Yeah, what's the basis in the area look like?
Well, it's been kind of holding steady. You know, we switched to the May, you know, we're on a basis to May on both corn and beans. So basis to May, beans run an even basis. And then, you know, corn, we're sitting here at 20 under the May. So, actually, pretty decent levels. We probably lost about 3 cents of real price going from the March to the May, but bottom line is it's still, for this time of year, a pretty healthy basis.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Thanks,
Doug. Your bids for the day?
Yeah, 434 on cash corn, 431 for fall, 1390 for cash beans, 11 and a quarter for fall.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks, Doug.
Matt Bennett is with TGM. He's out of Windsor, Illinois. Total Grain Marketing there at the Grain Elevator. We appreciate him joining us on this Thursday afternoon. Matt will be one of our many analysts at the All Day Ag Outlook next Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Still time to buy a ticket or two. There aren't many left, but you can call now at 217-333-7300 to reserve your place. Back in 2 minutes, we'll talk about a weather forecast that doesn't look so great for Sunday and Monday with Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather. He's in Chicago, Illinois.
On this day in agricultural history in 1841, Henry W. Longfellow published his famous poem, The Village Blacksmith. The smith, a mighty man, is he, with large and sinewy hands, and the muscles of his brawny arms are as strong as iron bands. In 1879, saccharin, an artificial sweetener, was discovered by Constantine Fahlberg and Ira Remsen at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland. They discovered saccharin while working on coal tar derivatives. Saccharin is 300 times sweeter than sugar, and for years was found in products as varied as toothpaste, diet soft drinks, ice cream, beauty products, and pharmaceuticals. In 1936, on this date, Ivan Petrovich Pavlov died. Pavlov's work with dogs actually started as a study of digestion. He theorized that digestion was controlled in part by sensory inputs of sight, smell, and taste. Of course, he's best known for his work on conditioned reflex, and he did more than ring a bell. He also experimented with whistles, metronomes, gunshots, and tuning forks. And in 2001, a new outbreak of foot and mouth disease swept across a cattle and sheep farm in Devon, England, raising the fear that the disease had reached mainland Europe. The outbreak of 450 cattle, 1,300 pigs, and 250 sheep vindicated an EU decision to stop all animal movement. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenor of T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois, is on the phone line to take up the forecast. It doesn't look particularly good for parts of next week. Mike, what can you tell me about the storm that we're about to get?
Well, there are several storm systems that will move on through the Corn Belt over the next 5 to 7 days. The most important one begins Saturday night and then continues through Sunday and into Monday. This does include a large portion of Illinois, and the big concern is that we have Arctic air that's in place right now. That will stay in place, and then when this system moves on to the east, it interacts with moisture off to the south, some very high humidity levels that are associated with tropical air, and that will interact with the cold air at the same time, and that's a good formula for snow. The big question right now is how much snow will there be, and where will it go? Most likely, it looks like it'll start somewhere around Kansas City in northwest Missouri and then spread to the east-northeast through a large portion of Missouri and central Illinois and then on to the east from there, including most soft red winter wheat areas of Indiana, Ohio, and even into Pennsylvania and New York. So we're talking about a fairly large system. As far as amounts go, it's a difficult call right now, but we would feel fairly comfortable with widespread 6-inch to 12-inch amounts. So we're talking about a large system for early March, and this could disrupt transportation for the 24 to 48-hour period. Beyond that, there's more chances for rain or snow after that. So this stormy pattern that's been in place for the better part of 4 months and the cold pattern that's been in place for a long time is essentially continuing, though it does moderate a bit as we get into the end of next week.
Well, hopefully we'll see signs of spring sooner rather than later. Turn your attention to South America. Tell me about the crops there and what conditions they are moving through parts of the harvest season now.
Yeah, harvest is underway across Brazil, and harvest conditions have been okay. It was fairly dry for several weeks leading up to about 1 to 2 weeks ago. It is raining occasionally now in Brazil, and that's slowing harvest at times and also slowing second crop planting. But overall, it doesn't appear to us to be anything unusual. Rainfall has been fairly close to average over the last 1 to 2 weeks. But one of the questions that we do have, and there's something that we'll have to follow, regarding second crop corn planting and how soil moisture looks from that. It is good that it's raining now, but corn, or at least second crop corn, is around half of Brazil's corn crop. And so we really need to see conditions there remain favorable as we go forward. And at this point, we think they will, at least as far as rainfall on and off over the next 7 to 10 days. And Argentina has turned very cool recently, and the cooler pattern has been of a benefit for filling soybeans. So that's well timed for them, though the growing season hasn't been perfect. It was dry and hot earlier in January and even in the parts of February.
Mike, are you of the opinion that the crop in Brazil and Argentina for soybeans, Brazil in particular, has been hurt at all by the season's average kind of weather forecast that has been good sometimes and really kind of poor sometimes?
Well, you have to wonder about that. If you look at southeast Brazil, which is where around 15 to 20% of soybeans are produced, they've been in a fairly severe drought for a while now. This all began in late December. It really hasn't broken to this point. Things definitely have not been perfect down there this growing season. And a perfect growing season would lead to production in the 90s as far as metric million tons go for Brazil. And we think that's probably off the table just given the mixed weather of recent weeks and months.
That's Mike Tenora. He's with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.